This evening, brothers and sisters, we open the Word of God in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, and we turn together to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is our scripture passage, and verse 12 is our focal point. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever You had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. You return man to dust and say, Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in Your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. That's Psalm 90. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, New Year's Eve 2021. Another year has almost come to an end, brothers and sisters. It's another year gone by. Where did the year go, we say, or sigh? How fast the time goes. We count the days in anticipation to a birthday, a wedding. We count the years that separate us from a loved one who passed away. We commemorate the anniversary in a job, of a marriage, or of the congregation to which we belong. 10, 25, 30 years, and so much has changed. Your thoughts go back to the beginning. You reflect on the time that's gone. You evaluate the progress in your life, in your business. You make up the balance. You do that for yourself, with your wife, your family. We also do that as church and consider what all happened. Look at the people who came and went. That's how we reminisce, also as congregation. For we have so much in common. Our faith, our life in the Lord, our joys and sorrows, our concerns and hopes. Yes, we have God in common. Brothers and sisters, when we meditate and reflect in the church, we open the scriptures. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Psalm 90 also is the standard New Year's Eve psalm in many a Christian family. It's the song about God and his people, the psalm about God and us. It's been that psalm in the families in which we grew up. It's in ours, and it will be in our children's. For generations come and generations go, and together we are taken up in the compassion and mercies of our God. The years come and go, yet God's covenant remains. His promises stay the basis for our life. And tonight also, beloved, we want to listen to the message of Psalm 90. For indeed, it does have a message for a special service like this, a message also for tomorrow, next week, and next month. For every day is a day of the Lord in the year of the Lord, 2021, 2022. Psalm 90 has a message for families and for congregations every year and after 25, 30 years. At least, Moses wrote a psalm at the end of Israel's 40 years wandering in the wilderness. It's a prayer of Moses together with and for God's people in every time. It's a prayer that is prayed in the midst of the realities of life, including the reality of man's mortality, of God's anger and wrath. In the midst of those realities, Moses prays, "So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom." That's the prayer that is prayed with the confidence and trust in the faithfulness and protection of the Lord, verse 1 and 2, and in the certain hope of the mercy of God and his grace in Jesus Christ, verse 14 through 17. Hence, I summarize the message as follows: teach us to number our days wisely, in the fear of God, in the sight of God, in the grace of God. So I would like to summarize the message of this evening as follows: teach us to number our days wisely, in the fear of God, our first point, in the sight of God, our second point, in the grace of God, our third point. So teach us to number our days wisely, that is, first of all, in the fear of God. If you want to be wise, brothers and sisters, you have to start with the Lord. Indeed, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Therefore, if you want to learn to number your days wisely, you have to listen to the Lord first. That's what Moses did too. However, then you realize immediately that when it comes to numbering God's days and years, you're stuck. It's impossible. God's days and years are innumerable. For the Lord is the everlasting God. Thousands of our years are in his sight like a day that has just gone by. Thousands of our years, that's 365,000 days. That seems endless to us. Who is able to oversee a millennium? That's like an eternity to us. When we consider our generations and we have three or four generations together, we can hardly fathom the spread in years. We may be able to oversee 50, 60, 70 years, yet how does that compare to 1,000 years. God's years cannot be numbered. Let be his days. He is eternal. So what's the purpose of considering the years of man in comparison to the years of God, beloved? That's done not to make us desperate or disappointed, but in order that we may first look at God with deep respect. That's what we do when we see someone very old too. That's how we feel when we come to think of a tree, a rock, or a mountain that's been somewhere for hundreds or thousands of years. Just imagine, we say then, what changes this tree, this rock has seen. It's one of the reasons for awe and admiration when we observe a mountain range and we ponder, these mountains have been here for thousands and thousands of years. Well, as Moses puts it, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The thought alone fills you with a deep respect, a holy fear of God. It also moves you to a tremendous trust in the Lord. God has been there much, much longer than the oldest people, the oldest trees, the oldest mountains. Yes, before the earth was even there, God was there already. In fact, he is the creator of heaven and earth, the God who brought them forth. Now, all this time that these trees and mountains, these generations of people have been there, God was there too. And he was there as the one with whom you can be safe and secure. Indeed, that's how we may know the Lord our God. Perhaps this may not apply to each one of you, beloved. Maybe among you there are those whose parents or grandparents did not believe. Then you are deeply grateful, of course, that you may believe by the grace of God. Yet there will be many among us, and I may say it with deep gratitude to God as well, who know that their parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents believed in the Lord, lived for the Lord, and trusted in the Lord, for he was there then already. Yes, and he was there many centuries before. He was there throughout all generations. He was there as a dwelling place in all those generations. It is that thought that seems so overwhelming, beloved. Yes, that fills us with such a deep sense of awe, of respect, and of holy fear that God was there as a refuge. Moses said it in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27 as well. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. A dwelling place, a refuge is the Lord. That's a place you can flee to, you can go to always when you are afraid, when you are in trouble, when your life is difficult. There he will bring you, carry you in his everlasting arms. That's where he hides you, protects you. He did so with mom and dad, with Opa and Oma, Pake and Beppe, Grandpa and Grandma, with Paul and Moses, with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. They found refuge with the Lord. What a God. Amazing. When he uses his almighty power for your benefit, you are safe. The Lord is God from everlasting to everlasting, beloved. And who are we? The Lord is God who does not fit within the parameters of our time. Time is a part of God's creation too, for us, for mankind, and for this world. Time had a beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. Time can be numbered. The first day, the second day, my birth year, 1947, 2021, 2022, etc., until the day of Christ's return. God's times and years cannot be numbered. 1,000 years are like a day. So what's 40 years in the wilderness? Or 30 years in the existence of a congregation? That's like a few minutes ago. He still knows that those Reformed believers came here 60, 70 years ago and settled here. He knows that they didn't quite know yet what was there, where they could go to worship their God. He moved them to secure this worship first in spirit and truth, to gather in his presence first and find refuge with the Lord. Before all things, we want to continue in the truth. We want to walk in the light, in the fear of his name, they said. Hence, Christ gathered them in the 1940s and 50s and 60s. God doesn't forget. It's like a moment ago to him in the light of God's eternity. Indeed, he is the everlasting God, and we are people of a day. We are like dust. The awareness of that reality also deepens the fear of our God. In contrast to the everlasting God, what is a day? What is a year? Yes, even if we are strong and become 70 or 80 years, what brevity that is compared to God's 1,000 years as one day. Our life is like a watch of the night. 3-4 hours and you wake up. Your dreams are gone and the night seems like a moment. 70, yes, 80 years may seem a long time in our eyes. May seem like a long time away when you're young. You can do so much in it, accomplish so many things. But what is it, really? It's like a mountain river after a rainstorm. It sweeps everything away that is in its path. A sigh, and we are no more. Our life is like grass. In the dew of the morning, the land bursts with flowers, a glorious sight to behold, while in the evening, after the sun has scorched it, the flowers lay withered on the ground. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Teach us to number our days wisely, O Lord, wisely, that is, in the fear of your name. People who don't fear the Lord also number their days. Since they know that time flies and life is short, they live it up. Let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. We need to learn to live differently. God has to teach us to look at our life in the fear of his name. We have to start with that early. Prayerfully, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Every day is a gift from God to be lived for God, trusting that we may dwell securely with him. We come to our second point, teach us to number our days wisely in the sight of God. How come, brothers and sisters, Moses and the believing Israelites experienced the shortness of life so intensely? How come they realized they had to number their days and that their days were numbered? It was due to the wrath of God. Moses openly confesses, "We are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed." Yes, Moses adds, "Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you?" How come? Well, just as much as the people of Israel had been impressed by the glory of God which he displayed in Egypt, just as much as they had stood in awe before the Lord when he manifested himself in the wilderness in the miracles and powerful works he performed, just as much as they had been overwhelmed by his greatness at Mount Sinai so that they would fear him, so much so they had seen his anger, his consuming wrath as well. They had lived for 40 years in the sight of God, and they realized how carefully they had to live their days before him. And we know the story that's behind the fact that they wandered for 40 years. They murmured and complained. They stubbornly resisted God's course. They failed to trust and believe his promises. They showed this most clearly at the time when the 12 spies returned from their journey to explore the promised land. Although the land was beautiful, and its fruits abundant, and the potential for prosperity overwhelming, they did not believe they could enter it. The people were too big, the cities too strong, and the problems too many. Joshua and Caleb could not convince them otherwise. Moses and Aaron could not persuade them to change their minds and trust in the Lord. "We can impossibly enter," the people said. And so the Lord punished them, saying, "You may no longer enter." "We would have rather died in the wilderness," the people said. And so the Lord pronounced his judgment, "You will all die in the wilderness." For every day the spies explored the land of Canaan, 40 days, the people wandered in the wilderness 40 years. God's anger was great over the people's unbelief. His wrath consumed them. Since they had hurt his love, despised his promises, and doubted his faithfulness, every day again they saw the wrath of God in the deaths, the funerals, and the graves. "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." That was the daily reality of living in the sight of God. That was the reality which moved them to number their days. In his anger, the Lord shortened the lives of the strong men of Israel. The one after the other fell away, also younger people of over 20. People of not even 58 died in the wilderness. Indeed, that young. That's what it means when it says, "We are consumed by your anger." From now on, they would make it to 70 or 80 if they were very strong. That's the average age. Moses himself became 120, and Aaron 123, and their sister Miriam too about that old, while father Amram became 137 years old and Joshua 110. So it had been no exception to become older than 100. Now, however, the Lord shortened their lives, and when they considered what this life was like, it was but toil and trouble. That's what happens when we turn our backs on the Lord, then he turns his face away from us. Terrible. Do you realize that? Do you? Well, Moses is not too sure about it. Who considers the power of your anger? Do we? Do people in our days? Do we truly realize the misery in the world? Do we realize that God's anger can consume us? Does his indignation terrify us? Then people react when they hear of disasters of the pandemic very negatively. If there is a God, why does he let it happen? But we know, don't we? God is terribly displeased about our original and our actual sins. Our secret sins also he puts in the light of his presence. What a God! What a powerful God! You are safe and secure with him when he uses his power in love towards you. But what if he uses it against you? Could he? Would he with his people, with church members? The words of our text, beloved, must be burning on our lips. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. That is a heart that fears the Lord. That is a heart that seeks his face in prayer. That is a heart that lives by the grace of God, by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. As we see in the third place, teach us to number our days wisely in the grace of God. The Psalm of Moses, brothers and sisters, is it a desperate cry? A hopeless complaint about the sadness of Israel's condition? It's not. As we've seen already, the beginning of the psalm expresses confidence and trust, while also the end of the psalm is very hope-giving. No, that's not because the people of the Lord are so good. If it were for them, the whole venture of deliverance would have succumbed in the wilderness. They would have been stuck in the dust of the desert and turned to dust there. When the Lord returns to his people, however, there's hope. Striking, therefore, to see in the Hebrew the contrast between the people's returning to dust and the Lord's returning to his people. Verse 13, return, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, turn around, change your mind, make your face to shine on us again and be gracious to us. Moses prays for the evidence of God's grace, for his loveliness or beauty for his people. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Do you hear that, beloved? Moses is speaking about their days again. All their days. Moses is pleading for the mercy of the Lord that it may be new again every morning. And it had been. It was. Every morning the manna had been there as evidence of God's loving care for his people. God does not forsake his people. He will finish perfectly what he, for his people, has undertaken. He does ensure that his people make it into the promised land. They will obtain their inheritance in the land of milk and honey. That's possible only by his grace in Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul highlights in his epistle to the Corinthians. The rock in the wilderness was Christ. He came along. Yes, through his Spirit, Moses pleads with the Lord, foreshadowing our mediator and intercessor when he prays. make us glad. For as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil." Moses is looking at the days of trouble, at the years in the wilderness journey, and he boldly implores the Lord, "Lord, compensate us for those days of affliction and trouble with a year of mercy and loving kindness for every day of misery." What a joy and gladness that would bring to your people. Isn't that something, beloved? When we have had a number of tough years, we are happy already for a time of respite. After a time of tension and unrest in the congregation, we appreciate the peace and harmony so much more. Then we don't even mention our own faults, the guilt that we have in the sight of God for the misery we have caused. Indeed, if the Lord is as much displeased with our conduct and attitude as Moses expressed in the psalm, we would not count on anything, but we would confess our guilt and plead for mercy. Yet Moses, beloved, knows the Lord for his goodness and grace, for his beauty, his loveliness. Moses appeals to the favor of the Lord because he knows the Lord is an everlasting God who has been love and beauty and a source of all good eternally. That's why Moses appeals to the Lord and prays, "Lord, give us a year for every miserable day that we may sing for joy and be glad." That is, give us an eternity of gladness, so to speak. Then we will far exceed the 1,000 years, which for God are like the day of yesterday. Then we don't have to number our days any longer and our years, for God's goodness and love are infinite, endless, for us and our children. Well, it's with a few to these children, beloved, that Moses prays. It is for the generations that are coming that Moses praises the faithfulness of the Lord, who has been a dwelling place throughout all generations. It is for the generation to come that Moses prays for a heart of wisdom, that they may live in the promised land all their days, that they may see the great deeds of the Lord in the conquest of Canaan. Then the lives of his people that succumbed in the wilderness would not be in vain. And that's then also how we evaluate on this New Year's Eve, beloved. Lord, as the fathers and mothers established this congregation in the fear of your name in 1992, in the sincere desire to worship you in spirit and truth, so continue that work. In spite of their sins and shortcomings, in spite of their sin and guilt committed throughout these 30 years of our congregation, continue to be the God of grace. Of grace, Reformed Church. The God of grace to us, a dwelling place for the generations to come. As in your grace you have gathered and preserved your people through Jesus Christ our Lord, establish that work and show the next generation your favor, your beauty, your loveliness too. Then in Jesus Christ, we may rejoice and be glad individually and collectively, thankful for his favor shown to us personally and to us as congregation. Yes, beloved, then we may be assured by the words of the Apostle Paul, "My beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." In that firm confidence and trust, Let us proceed into the year of our Lord 2022 and number our days wisely. Let us rejoice in his goodness and grace over us these 30 years, over his favor shown to us during this past year as well. Amen.